Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of Daniel chapter 11, we were talking about the possibility that the Antichrist will be a Jew and of the tribe of Dan. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If he were not a Jew, would he be recognized as a leader for the Jews? Of course not. He would come as an impostor and be rejected and without a peace treaty or a covenant signed as that which begins the tribulation period. There will be something about the world leader that will cause the Jews to trust in him. And I believe that one of those things is that he will be a Jew. And I believe that he'll be of the tribe of Dan. It says, nor the desire of women. Now, some interpret that all women in Israel wanted to be mother of Messiah. That is, that was their desire. But the next phrase says in this verse, nor regard any god, which means he won't honor Jehovah, nor any god of the Gentiles. Why? Because he's going to magnify himself above all to be worshipped. The image is going to be of him. Now, if you go back to the desire of women, the best fit by context, I believe, is that the physical drive or marriage, he's not going to pay attention to that. He's not going to observe that. He's not going to be driven. He's not going to be a womanizer. I believe that he's going to be a single man, not a womanizer. And, of course, there's many politicians I can think of in America, let alone other places, that leaves them out as the Antichrist. One more statement says, nor regard any god. Now, because it says that, I believe that it shows that he is not the Pope, as some people try to purport that he is. The Jews would not accept a Pope as Messiah. I don't see a Jewish Pope, nor do I see a Pope as a military strategist, which this one would be, because that takes us here into Daniel 11:38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. The God of forces. Now, I believe that refers to military might and machinery. Now, he separates himself from women and regards the God of force. He places his faith in weapons and he relies on the strength of Satan for power. And so, as you look there at the rest of verse 38, and we see there that he puts up this God and he honors it with gold and silver and precious stones and pleasant things, I believe that that's the same as the image in Revelation 13, verses 14 and 15, where it says that he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And so we see this as perhaps the Antichrist setting up an image of himself in order to be worshipped. And what an interesting character this guy is. Satan knows that things as gold, silver, and precious stones attract mankind. Pleasant things has the idea of desirable things, things desirable to the flesh. Perhaps that's where the music comes in. Remember back, Daniel chapter 3, the great golden image, you have the attraction of the gold, the beauty, and then you have the music to set the mood to bow down, and hey, everybody jumps on board but three guys. And then they try to kill, but God won't let it happen. But it'll be such that men will be in awe. Evidently, this thing is somewhat like some of the wonders of the world. Now, here in our country, we have the Grand Canyon. I've been there. And I tell you what, when you look into the Grand Canyon, you begin to understand the word awestruck. And I believe that that was the best way to say it when I looked at the Grand Canyon. I was just awestruck and realized what a great God we have. Verse 39 says, thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Now, in the various strongholds that are established in Antichrist's rule, which is the ten-toed kingdom of the revised Roman Empire, he will acknowledge and increase with glory a strange God. And he will cause funds and acknowledgement of worship of this strange God. Now that brings the question, who is the strange God the Antichrist leads to worship and to honor? Well, again, I think Revelation 13, verses 2 through 4 provide an answer. And the beast, that's the Antichrist, which I saw, was likened to a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is likened to the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Well, now we see that he's honoring the worship of Satan himself. And so we see the increase of Wicca worship and witchhood and all those kind of things. It starts to take place during this time. This is Satan's week. Satan is going for all he can get. I believe after he sets himself up in the temple and many flee, he will give to those who are loyal to him land and authority of that which is left. And that takes us here into verse 40 here of Daniel 11, where it says, and at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him. The king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, and with horsemen, and with many ships. He shall enter into the countries, shall overflow, and pass over. The time of the end is nearing the end of the tribulation. The campaign of Armageddon is underway, which is spoken of in the 16th chapter of Revelation. Now, understand, Armageddon is not a one-day battle. It's something that's building up when Christ returns. Revelation chapter 9 lets us know that the Eastern coalition that's coming comes for 1 year, 1 month, and 1 day. So we know that it's at least 13 months and a day that this campaign is going on. The King of the South is an alliance of African nations. I believe they'll be under Egypt, since Egypt seems so dominant in Scripture. But it's not necessarily so. I just believe that. The King of the North will refer to Russia and her allies. The goal is to wipe out the Jews and gain control of Palestine by these from the North. In Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 2 and 5 and 6, we read this. Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech, now that's speaking of Moscow, and Tubal, or Tobolsk, and prophesy against him. Verse 5, Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them all of their shield and helmet, Gomer, which is Germany, and all his bands, the house of Togarma, which is Turkey, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Well, these are the ones that are coming. And that's the northern coalition. Now, in the early 1900s, several theologians pointed out that Russia, especially Moscow, was on a straight line north from Jerusalem to Moscow. And so they included this part, along with some archaeological evidence, that this spoke of Russia. Now, they were laughed to scorn in the early 1900s. But my friend, I've got to tell you, the Bible's always right. And now we don't think that that's a far-fetched thing anymore, do we? The context here is that although in alliance with the king of the south, the north kingdom is more dominant and powerful. He comes with a whirlwind of chariots and ships and so forth. Again, we see that the king of the north makes a distinction between this person and Antiochus in verses 21 through 35, because Antiochus was called the king of the north. So this is somebody different, this Antichrist here, and it's a different period. Now, we read from the last half of verse 40 on through verse 43. And he says there, "And the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps." Now, the glorious land, of course, refers to Israel there in verse 41. The Antichrist is very successful in repelling their initial attack. Edom, Moab, and the chief of the children of Ammon. Now, most commentaries believe that since these three countries are southeast of Palestine, that their counterpart today is the country of Jordan. They shall escape Antichrist's hand. They are not invaded. Perhaps God is reserving special judgment for those sons of Ishmael. I don't know. Notice he stretches hands upon the countries, and Egypt does not escape. He has power over their treasures. Let's read again verse 43, and then we'll correlate that to chapter 13, verses 16 through 18 of Revelation. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ." Christ Jesus.